Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tat nasmarant yatitaram priya isha martyam ye chandvada sita sarid griha vitta dharaha ye twabjanabha bhavadiya padara vinda so ganja lubdha Hridayeshu Krita Prashanga. O Lord, who have a lotus navel, the person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after your lotus feet, seeking always their fragrance. He is never attached to the material body or in a bodily relationship to offspring, friends, home, wealth, and wife, which are very, very dear to materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them. Purport. A special advantage in devotional service is that a devotee not only enjoys the transcendental pastimes of the Lord by hearing and chanting and glorifying them, but also are not very much attached to their bodies, unlike the yogis who are too attached to the bodies and who think that by performing bodily gymnastic exercises, they will advance in spiritual consciousness. Yogis are generally not very much interested in devotional service. They want to regulate the breathing process. This is simply a bodily concern. Here, Dhruva Maharaj plainly says that a devotee has no bodily interest. He knows that he is not the body. Therefore, from the very beginning, without wasting time in bodily exercises, the devotee searches out a pure devotee and simply by his association becomes more advanced in spiritual consciousness than a yogi. Because a devotee knows that he's not the body, he's never affected by bodily happiness or distress. He's not interested in bodily relationships with wife, children, home, bank balance, etc., or in the distress and happiness which comes from these things. This is the special advantage of being a devotee. The status of life is possible only when a person is interested in associating with a pure devotee who always enjoys the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. My plan is to go to New York City tomorrow. I may delay for a day to go to Indradum the Swami's program and kind of support them. So Dhruva Maharaj, by his determination, Dhruva Maharaj is the example of determination, dridha brita. We have to become determined. Yesham twantakatam papam jananam punya karmanam tvaidvandva moha nirmukta bhajanti mam jadava. It takes a long time. You have to become very, very determined in devotional service. Generally, yesham twantakatam papam. You have to become pious. Because there are so many impulses in us that are drawing us away from Krishna consciousness. And realization comes from being fixed in meditation. And determination is the foundation of becoming fixed. Now, Dhruva Maharaj had a particular nature, and he was insulted, and then he wanted to achieve something, and he took to bhakti from some motive for some material thing, but he was convinced that bhakti would give him that thing, and he was fixed and determined in his practice and meditation on bhakti, even though there was some motive. But as a result, he got Sakshat Darshan. He sees God. And then the association with God, is an experience that becomes one's faith, because it is more, infinitely more pleasurable. It brings a quality of happiness that is supra, S-U-P-R-A, supra-sensuous and supra-egotistical. We generally gauge our pleasure in these two ways, that we feel better than others or we have some sensual... It's so far beyond that. That type of pleasure, as Srila Rupa Goswami mentions, that if you multiply the happiness of material pleasure by, you know, a millionfold, that will not equal a drop of the pleasure of Brahmananda. When the internal potency, the aspect of Ladini Shakti, is reflected on the jiva, going to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then the pleasure is Brahmananda. What's reflected in Maya, it's material pleasure. And when it's purely reflected in the spiritual world, it's Rasananda. So you cannot compare the pleasure of the material world to the pleasure of Brahmananda. And when that pleasure is, potency is reflected purely, you cannot compare anything to that. And that's our faith. And Dhruva Maharaj had that experience. And in that experience, he realizes where greatness lies and begins to glorify that greatness. And now his prayers are spontaneously coming from the heart in a very, very powerful way. Sarvesya chaham hidi sani vishto matas mitir gyanam aponam sha. For me comes remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. So directly from the heart, something is coming beyond the intellect. And we may all experience that in trying to teach Krishna consciousness in a particular circumstance. Something is manifest more than our particular capabilities. And he starts to offer these incredible prayers based on his realization. And that's what a beautiful thing is. When one sees the truth and has an experience, a depth of experience of the truth, he can express and communicate that. And it's a very, very profound and convincing words, very profound and convincing. So he's experienced something. And he understands that that experience of bhakti, which is in the heart of a devotee, it comes from a devotee. God himself appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to get that experience, and he gets it from a devotee. And it's called their fragrance. The fragrance is the shakti that emanates from a flower. The color, the fragrance, these are the energies of a flower. So there's an energy of a devotee, and analogously, it's called a fragrance. It's very, very pleasant. Fragrance is a very pleasant part of the flower. It's the main part. It's the main part of a flower, which basically communicates its beauty. So the fragrance of a devotee, if you associate with a devotee, and what is that fragrance? The fragrance is the devotee has that faith in Krishna and hankers after his lotus feet. And that is bhakti. So the fragrance of a devotee is his bhakti. And when you experience that, it is greater than anything else. And once experiencing that, adau shraddha, it begins with faith. And what is that faith? It's an experience of that fragrance. And therefore an appreciation of that fragrance of bhakti, that thing that someone has that is so wonderful and beautiful, that you appreciate and want yourself. So this is what's happening to Dhruva Maharaj. It's the mercy of Narada Muni that he gets the Sakshadarshan of Vishnu. And it says that when one legitimately has that, he no longer hankers for anything else in relationship to the body. That no longer becomes his goal or objective. The temporary never becomes its one's goal or objective. And what Prabhupada explains in the purport, that yogis still have bodily interest. And you know, and this is actually what bhakti is. It's not the type of mystical experience for your own enjoyment. There are very, very high mystical experiences that a yogi can have, that are still material, because he can experience in his meditation prakriti. And so, you know, he can experience something. And he's seeking that experience. The devotee is not seeking anything. And that is the experience. And that's called love, and it's transcendental love, and it's spiritual love. And it's the essence of God's pleasure potency. And it's what real pleasure is. And people could be misguided in terms of spiritual life, looking for that experience separate from love and considering it spiritual. So Prabhupada said, there's nothing like the advantage of enjoying the pleasure of Krishna, which comes from chanting and hearing about his pastimes. Yesterday, I felt that with Buttahari's kirtan. It was just phenomenal. So he says that this is our spiritual path. We're searching for pure devotees and we want to serve them. And we'll develop advanced spiritual consciousness, which means anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma jnabritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktam uttama. We'll have no other desires but to serve Krishna. And then we won't be interested in other things separate from Krishna. I think there's two points here, because there's a level of detachment here that's sometimes puzzling, because it says you're not interested in friends. You're no longer interested in friends. You're no longer interested in offspring. You're no longer interested in home. You're not interested in anything that is separate from Krishna, anything that is separate from God. You may have had friends, but now if those friends are no longer connected to Krishna, you will gradually lose connection with them. And that happens. I mean, I had friends. Now who are my friends? You have relationships. Now who are your relationships? Of course, there's also the concept of yukta vairagya. We don't give up things that can be used in Krishna consciousness. And we, in spiritual life, in devotional service, we enter into certain ashrams, grihastha ashrams. There are certain relationships we have. We enter into those ashrams to advance further in Krishna consciousness because of attachments that we have. And therefore, those relationships are part of our devotional path. So we simultaneously appreciate those relationships and gradually also become detached from them to the extent that they're not connected to Krishna. Okay, we'll go on. Verse, and it's artificial before a certain level of devotional service to even think one can be detached from such things. 13. Triyanagadvija Sarispa Deva Daitya Martya Dibi Parichitam Sarasat Vishesham Rupam Tavishtam Ajite Mahat Ajane Kam Natta Param Paramavedi Niyatavara. My dear Lord, O Supreme Unborn, I know that the different varieties of living entities, such as animals, trees, birds, reptiles, demigods, and human beings, are spread throughout the universe, which is caused by the total material energy, Mahat. And I know sometimes they are sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. but I have never experienced the supreme form I behold as I see you now. Now all kinds of methods of theorizing have come to an end. I've experienced everything. I know the varieties of being entities that are manifest and unmanifest. But I've never experienced this. You may experience people. You may experience relationships. You may experience love. But when you experience God, you've never experienced anything before. And even if you become perfect, you'll never experience anything before every time you experience God. That's called apurvatam, unprecedented, never before. Each time you see God, it's an ever-refreshing experience. Our hankering for God increases, and the glories of God are increasing. Abbas says, never static, it's ecstatic. And I always quote that verse. The sages of Namasharanya, Vayam Natu Vatriptyatma Uttamashloka Vartate Yatrinvatam Rasaganam Swadu Swadu. Then we never become satiated. That I never experienced before. Now he's experienced for the first time, but every time will be the first time. And now all kinds of vada, arguments, have come to an end. There's no more doubts. There's always two doubts until that direct experience of God. Is it true? Can I attain it? Is this true? Can I attain it? Is this true? Can I attain it? And he's saying, now all arguments have come to an end. I have my direct experience of it. Purport, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he spread himself throughout the universe, but although everything is resting upon him, he is aloof. The same concept is expressed here by Dhruv Maharaj. That's a Chintya Veda Veda Tattva, simultaneously one and different. That's the ninth chapter where Krishna explains, Mayam Tatam Idam Sarvam, Jagat Avyakta Murtina. By me, in my impersonal energy, I have spread, you know, I'm everywhere, but I am not in them. I do not have the defect of impersonality, even though I am everywhere. I haven't lost my personality. It's the same verse. This is what Dhruva Maharaj is explaining. He said, you're everywhere. But even though you're everywhere, you're also something different. And that's what I'm experiencing. The energy is everywhere. But I'm experiencing something that I've never seen before. And although I've seen everything, I've never seen this before. Because I've seen the personal aspect of God, which is only revealed in bhakti. You look at a person, I've seen the person, but when you know the person, I've never known this before. Because there's something in personhood that has to be given, that cannot just be analyzed. It comes only in relationship, and that is bhakti. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tvam. The one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them something. This is a chintya beta beta tattva. Simultaneously one and different. You see the one, but you don't see the difference. Everything is one, but it's different. It's also not one, in the sense that it's not, it's also, I love that statement by, I don't know, it's a philosopher, but I think Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshakya Sridhar commented on that. He said that where there is no circumference, the center is everywhere. So God is all pervading. You can go, but also there's the center. And that center can manifest anywhere, just like the story of Prahlad Maharaj, where he went to Kashyapu, challenged him. Is he? Is your God everywhere? Is he in this pillar? Yes. And then I will kill him. Then he appears. And that aspect you can generally not see without devotion, not by your analysis of every atom in this universe, where you see the personal aspect of God, who only reveals himself in love. Naham pakasya sarvasya yoga maya sarvasya. I'm not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. I'm covered by my internal potency. Our ability to see God depends on our perspective and attitude of approach. Mayam tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktam. By me, in my unmanifested nature. So what is that verse what I just quoted? I'm going to go on. He states that before seeing the transcendental form of the Lord, he experienced only a variety of material forms, which are counted as 8,400,000 species of aquatic birds, beasts. The fact is that unless one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, it is impossible to understand the ultimate form of the Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktimam Abhijanati. Factual understanding of the absolute truth, who is the supreme person, cannot be obtained by any process other than devotional service. And this is something we see. Without relationship, we cannot know anyone. So why do we think we can know God just by a view, an analysis? Dhruva Maharaj here compares his previous state of understanding with the perfection of understanding in the presence of the Supreme Lord. The position of the living entity is to render service. Unless he comes to the stage of appreciating the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he engages in the service of the various forms of trees, reptiles, animals, men, demigods, etc. One can experience that one man engages in the service of a dog, another serves plants and creepers, another demigods, another is humanity or his boss in the office. But no one is engaged in the service of Krishna. And that's the perfect service, because that is the service of everything. Whereas there's no circumference, the center is everywhere. And when you hit the center, you are connected to everything else. And if you're not connected to the center, you're not connected to anything else. So when you serve the center, as you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are replenished. One can experience that one man engages in the service of a dog, another serves plants and creepers, another the demigods, another humanity or his boss in the office, but no one is engaged in the service of Krishna. Aside from common men, even men who are elevated in terms of spiritual understanding are at the utmost engaged in the service of Virat Rupa, or are unable to understand the ultimate form of the Lord, they worship voidism or by meditation. Dhruva Maharaj, however, had been blessed by the Supreme Lord. When the Lord touched his conch shell to Dhruva's forehead, real knowledge was revealed from within, and Dhruva Maharaj could understand the Lord's transcendental form. Dhruva Maharaj here admits that not only was he ignorant, But by years, he's only a child. It would not have been possible for an ignorant child to appreciate the supreme form of the Lord had he not been blessed by the Lord who had touched his conch shell to Dhruva's head. Okay, let's do one more verse today. Kalpanta etad ikalam chatarena grinam shete puman sadig ananta shakas taramke yadnabhi sindhu vakanchana lokapadma garbe juman bhagavate pananatisnatsnai. My dear Lord, at the end of each millennium, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, dissolves everything manifested within the universe into his belly. He lies down on the lap of Seshanaga. From his navel sprouts a golden lotus flower on a stem, and on that lotus, Lord Brahma is created. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord. The same one, the same Supreme Godhead. Therefore, my respectful obeisance is unto you. So he's worshiping something that is personal, but understands that it is immanent, that it is all powerful. It doesn't diminish the personal relationship, it expands the personal relationship. But just to worship God's eminency, is a limited aspect of worshiping God, because the real the depth of God is his personal nature. So everything is enhancing that person or that center which everything is connected to. And therefore now he's appreciating all of God's creation. And understanding that it's coming from God or Vishnu, and everything's coming from them. Therefore I offer obeisances unto you. Purport. Dhruva Maharaja's understanding of the Supreme Personality of God is complete. In the Vedas it is said, Yasmin Vigate Sarvam Evam Vigatam Bhavati. Knowledge received through the transcendental causeless mercy of the Lord is so perfect that by that knowledge the devotee becomes acquainted with all the different manifestations of the Lord. Lord Shiradakshay Vishnu is present before Dhruva Maharaja, who could understand the Lord's two other forms, namely Garbhadakshay Vishnu and Karanodakshay Vishnu. Regarding Mahavishnu, it is stated in Brahma Samhita, Yasyaika Nishpasita Kala Matava Lambhya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagananda Nata Vishnur Mahansa Iyayasya Kala Vishesho Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. At the end of each and every millennium, when all the material worlds are dissolved, everything enters the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who is lying on the lap of Seshanaga, another form of the Lord. Those who are not devotees cannot understand the different forms of Vishnu and their positions in regard to the creation. Sometimes the atheists argue, how can a flower stem sprout from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu? They consider all the statements of the Shastra to be stories. As a result of their inexperience in the absolute truth and the reluctance to accept authority, they become more and more atheistic. They cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, by grace of the Lord, knows all the manifestations of the Lord and their different positions. It is said that anyone who is even a little of the Lord's grace can understand his glories. Otherwise, others may go on speculating on the absolute truth, but they will always be unable to understand the Lord. In other words, unless one comes in contact with the devotee, it's not possible to understand the transcendental form or the spiritual world and its transcendental activities. What is that verse? Pantastu koti sata vatsara sampagamyo ayuratapi manaso muni pungavanam. I forgot the rest, but speculating by the speed of mind, one can't even understand a particle of dust, you know, traveling by the speed of mind for millions of years. You won't understand, because it's beyond analysis. It's something that has to be given to you. And the wrong approach or perspective skews your vision or perception of it. Somehow, let's read a few verses. There one more verse, okay? Tam nitya mukta parishuddha vibhuta atma hutasta adi purusho bhagavan tadisha yadbhudya vastitama kandita kandasajishya drashta stitav adimako vartavikta ase. My Lord, by your unbroken transcendental glance, you are the supreme witness of all stages of intellectual activities. You eternally liberated. Your existence is situated in pure goodness, and you are existent in the supersoul without charge. You are the original personality of Godhead, full with six opulences, and you are eternally the master of the three modes of material nature. Thus, you are always different from the ordinary living entities. As Lord Vishnu, you maintain all the affairs of the entire universe, yet you stand aloof, and you are the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. Purport, an atheistic argument against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of God, it states that if God, the Supreme Person, appears and disappears and sleeps and awakens, then what is the difference between God and the living entity? Dhruva Maharaj is carefully distinguishing the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from that of other living entities. He points out the following. The Lord is eternally liberated. I'll just finish this paragraph for today. Whenever he appears, even within this material world, he's never entangled by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, he is known as Tridish, the master of the three modes of material nature. In Bhagavad Gita 7:14, it is said, Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya darateya. Living entities are all entangled in three modes of material nature. The external energy of the Lord is very strong, but the Lord is the master of the three modes of material nature, is ever liberated from the action and reaction of those modes. He is therefore uncontaminated, stated in the issue of Upanishads. Contamination of the material world does not affect the Supreme Lord. Krishna therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita that those who are rascals and fools think of him as an ordinary human being, not knowing his Parambhavan. Parambhavan refers to his always being transcendentally situated. Material contamination cannot affect him. So, Hare Krishna, somehow, you know, different days I have my different inspirations. I, you know, didn't get to bed after getting home late from New York and being driven to the house till about 1 o'clock. So I really feel the potency of what I say has to be based on the consciousness of a good sadhana in the morning. And I really haven't had an opportunity yet for that, having gone to bed so late and then waking up. This is where my kind of realization stopped, and therefore the class stops. But I'm willing to entertain any questions. Are there any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hello, Hari Bo.
Hi, Bo. Chaitanya Priya, Hare Krishna, thank you. Okay. Anybody
Hare Krishna
like
Maharaj.
Yeah?
Wow.
Yeah?
Yeah. Wait, one second. Trying to. Maybe I've got to turn this off. Yeah.
You know, the. Do you remember the number of the last verse you read?
Yeah. What about it? Yeah. You want the number?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give the number.
Because in the purport, I can't form the question properly, because in the purport it says something about Krishna, or about us being his charge. Something about the word charge. I don't know if that rings a bell.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was in the purport of the last verse you just read or the one before it.
Well,
but
I'm
it
not
was something
be able
about
to find it.
This word charge. So I'll look. If you give me the number, I'll look to see where that sentence
well,
was.
Well, it's either 915 or 914.
915 or 914.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Hey, Tota, hi, Bo. Hey, Tota, can
yes,
you call me after the class? You have my phone number?
I do, I'll give you a call.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
It's Gordon.
Gordon, hi, Bo. Anybody else?
Hi, Bo.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Kishori
and Priya.
Priya, good, good. Okay. I'm going to end today. I have a few things to do. Thank you all for coming on. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.